want to take our Bibles and open to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40.
I'm going to preach a message on a portion of Scripture that I've always liked and wanted to preach a message on it, but the Lord never seemed fit to give me anything, and I trust He'll give me something this morning. Isaiah chapter 40, near the end of the chapter, a great portion of Scripture, some great verses that are found here, and trust that God will use them to speak to our hearts today. Isaiah chapter 40, and we'll begin to read in verse 28. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on the word. Now, Father, today we're conscious of our inability to do anything apart from You. And Father, as we bow in prayer at this time, we bow not only our heads, but our hearts and our souls, begging that You'll do something for us today. We're tired of this life, the battles that are to be fought. The world, the flesh, and the devil seem to beat on us stronger every day that we live. And Lord, we long to be fed from the Word of God today. We long to feel, sense, and know the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Not just utter words that are spoken, not just vain things to be said, but Lord, a message to be delivered in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. We ask now that You'd clear our hearts and minds of things that are contrary to Thee, things that are against Thee and against Thy Spirit. May anything that would exalt itself against Thee be cast down and put aside. May the sweet Holy Spirit of God be lifted up. May the name of Jesus be honored and glorified. May the Word of God be elevated to the position that it alone deserves. And Father, we pray that You'd speak to our hearts today. We pray that You'd get away from us anything contrary, any demon or evil spirit, any foul spirit that would take over. May the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us from any sin that we have. May it wash us and make us clean and pure that we might be receptive for the Word of God today. Now, Father, I pray that You'd bless this message. For some reason, You have laid it on my heart to preach and to bring it. I pray that it would bring some help, some strength, some means of blessing to those that are here today. And I pray for Your children, Lord, that You'd minister to them and meet their needs. Lord, I'm conscious, I look out across this congregation, that there's as many needs as there are people that are here today. And Father, I can't meet them, but I know that You can. I pray that You would. And Lord, for any lost sinner here today, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. I pray that today would be the day when they trust Thee, believe on Thee, and Lord, open their heart and say yes and receive You today. Guide the words of my mouth in a perfect way. May I say only what the Holy Spirit would have me to say. And Lord, if there be anything displeasing in Thy sight, may it not come out of these lips today. Bless the message and the Word of God. And may all that's said and done here today please You. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in Isaiah chapter 40, we find a portion of Scripture near the end of the chapter that I'd like to bring a message on that I call Power for the Faint. Power for the Faint. And the way some of you look this morning, it looks like you could use a little bit of power in your life. The way some of you sound, it looks like you're about to faint and be weary and fall by the wayside. And I trust that God Himself will give you the power that you need to go on today. He starts in verse 28 and he says, "Hast thou not known?" When he speaks to his own children, the nation of Israel. And Isaiah said, "Have you not known?" And the idea is it's something that they should have known. It's something that they should have been aware of, but evidently they had forgot it and it had slipped their mind. He said, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard?" He said, "You ought to know." He said, "You have heard it before. It ought to be something you're aware of." And what is it? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. And he said, the way some of you act, you'd think that your God had died and fell by the wayside. Isaiah said, when I look at some of you and see how weak and fainting and weary you are, he said, it looks to me as if some of you need to know, you need to hear, that our God is still alive today.
said, I look out at some of you and see you so weak and falling by the wayside. He said, I see some of you there. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Our God is the everlasting God. He is the eternal one, the holy one that liveth and abideth forever. Said, he's not weary, he's not faint, he's not about to give up. Why then should we give up? Why then should we be weary? Why then should we faint if the one who sustains us never grows weary? Why do we grow weary? If the one who never faints sustains us, why are so many of God's people fainting today? The longer I live, the more I'm in this life, I realize that the necessities of life can be boiled down to a very basic few. And the things that we really need are very few things in this life. I look around me and see a whole lot of junk that we could do without. I see all kinds of junk that if I didn't have it, I could get along real good. And when I really get down to it, and when I really get down to basic essentials, I see there's one thing that I need more than anything else, and that's God Himself. Beloved, that's what's wrong some of you this morning. Look like you're about to fall out. Look like you're about to faint and be weary along the wayside. It's because you're not looking to the source of your power. You're not looking to the one who can give you the power, and it is God Himself. I'll tell you what we need. We need God. That's what we need. We need His blessing. We need His power. We need His book. We need Him and Him alone. Let us be away with all these frivol things in this life that bring us little help and little hope. Let us realize what the real necessities of this life are. Now, this morning, I want to, for a few minutes, talk about the power that is given for the faint. Now, first, I want you to see the need of this power. The need of power. Notice he says in verse 29, He giveth power to the faint. Well, if somebody's fainting, then they must need some help. And to them that have no might, He increases strength. There's somebody who has no strength, and the Lord gives it to him. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. I mean, this is an unusual thing, not an ordinary thing. Shouldn't happen. The youth ought to have strength, and the young men shall utterly fall. The first thing that I want us to see is that He speaks of you and I needing power. He speaks of it because we need it in our life. And I wish that I could get you and I to see, and I wish I could get every saved person in this building to see, that what we need is God's power in our life. That's what we need to sustain us and to help us. We cannot be sustained by our own power. We cannot be held up by anybody's power except God Himself. And the reason some of you are faint, the reason some of you are weary, and the reason some of you young Christians and young people that ought to be running are not running is because you've looked to some other source of power, you've looked to some other source of strength, and what you need is not the power of a great brain, or not the power of your wisdom, or not the power of money, or not the power of a social position. You need the power of God in your life. Beloved, I'm not talking about something wild and something way out. I'm talking about something that I need every day of my life. I'm talking about something that you need every day of your life. And the reason that many of God's people are in the condition they're in is because they've looked to somebody else or something else for their power. You and I need the power of God. You say, for what? To live our life. That's what we need it for. We needed to teach the Word of God. We needed to preach the Word of God. We needed to walk in this life. We needed to live right and do right. And let me tell you, nobody, nobody, nobody in this building this morning can walk a Christian life apart from the power of God. Some of you have looked to the flesh, you've looked to yourself, you've looked to your own wisdom and your own ability, you've looked to your own intellect, you've looked to the dollar bill, you've looked to the church, you've looked to some other friend, and you ought to have been looking to God, who you ought to have been looking to. The need of power in our life. The reason so many Christians are fainting, failing, and faltering on the road of life is because they begin to trust some other power. Listen, there is a need of power for you and I. Sometimes God will let us go through tribulation. Sometimes God will let us go through heartaches and problems. Sometimes God will let persecutions come our way that we can see how weak we really are, so that we can see how feeble we really are and see that we don't even have the power to sustain us one day of our life. Listen, if I didn't think the power of God was able to keep me, I wouldn't even get up in the morning and get out of bed. If I didn't think the power of God was able to protect me, I wouldn't drive down the street. I wouldn't walk out of my house if I didn't think the power of God was able to hold me up, able to sustain me and keep me in this life. Brothers and sisters, we need that power. Paul said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Isaiah said he giveth power to the faint. Isaiah said he giveth strength to them that have no might or no strength. Beloved, we have a need of strength and we have a need of power. That need that we have is to have the power of God in our life. The Bible says that you and I as Christians need to realize that as Paul did, that we can go through a lot of things if the end result in those things is that the power of Christ rests upon us. Paul said, I'm ready to suffer. I'm ready to be persecuted. I'm ready to suffer in the flesh. I'm ready to be rebuked if the end result is that the power of Christ is in my life. Beloved, some of you are fainting. You're weary. You're fallen by the wayside. The troubles of this life have bowed you down to the point where as a Christian, you're about to throw up the white flag and quit. You know why? Because you're not getting your power from God Himself. You trust in somebody else and something else. J. Hudson Taylor said, many Christians estimate the difficulties in light of their own resources. They attempt little and often fail in what they do attempt. And he said, God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on His power and His power alone. There's a need of power. Listen, I need the power of God every day in my life. I need it to help me through the troubles and situations of this life. I need God to sustain me. I need God to help me. I need God to give me wisdom, whether I'm teaching, whether I'm preaching, whether I'm talking, whether I'm walking, whether I'm getting up, whatever I'm doing. I need God's presence to be with me. The need of power is given. William Jessup was a missionary for about 50 years in Syria. After he'd been there for a while, he was discouraged at the fact that he hadn't won many people to the Lord Jesus Christ. He thought that the trouble must be with him. He took his Bible and determined he would go aside for a week, and that he would be there. And while he was there, he would pray, and the Lord would show him what was wrong. He hadn't went too far at all until he realized he had been trying to do all of the work in his own strength. And when he realized that, he said, Lord, no longer will I try to work in my own strength, but I'll rely upon you. He took a piece of paper and wrote down the name of 11 men that he wanted to be saved. He prayed for them and he said, Lord, I'm going to do all I can to win them. But he said, I'm going to leave the final job in your hands. Within a week, one of those men came to him so burdened, he said, I've never felt this way in my life. He said, I'm miserable day and night. I need something that I don't have. He showed him how he could be saved. And in a matter of weeks, all 11 of those men came to know Jesus as their Savior. William Jessup said, I'll be a different missionary the rest of my life. I realize God is the one who worketh in us to will and to do His will. There's a need of power. Now look at me and listen. You have to have the power of God in your life. You say, I'm not going to be a preacher. Listen, you'll have to have the power of God to live one day at a time. You'll have to have the power of God to walk through the valley that you're going to go through. You'll have to have the power of God to endure the persecution that you're going to have. You'll have to have the power of God to sustain you and uphold you, to go through the battles and trials of this life. Don't think it's just some preacher who needs it. I need it. I want it. I beg for it. I seek for it. And I ask for it. But I'm not a fool enough to think I just need it when I'm teaching and preaching. I need it every second of every hour of every day. Now, not only the need of power, but notice the source of power. The source of power. And this is found for you in verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? Notice in verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high And behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number, he calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. The source of this power is God himself. He is the one who sustains and gives us the power that we need. And listen, as God is everlasting, the power that he can give us can sustain us and hold us up in this life. As endless as God is, so is his power. As great as God is, so is his power. As big as God is, so is his power. As wonderful as God is, so is his power. We are upheld by the one who upholds the universe, the one who created the sun and the moon and the stars and hung them into space, and not only created them, but upholds them and sustains them day by day. Bless God, I don't have to go forward in my strength. Bless God, I don't have to come into a pulpit and worry about preaching in my power, because my power would fall right on the ground. But I have one who upholds me that's greater than me. I have one who sustains me that sustains this universe. You know, I like what it says in Deuteronomy. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal God is my refuge, and underneath is the everlasting arm. Brother, I see a picture of God picking me up as a sinner when I got saved, and he said, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. And he said, I'm going to wrap my arms around you. I'm going to carry you. I'm going to take care of you. I will be the one that upholds you. I will be the one that sustains you. Fear not what man can do unto thee. Fear God. Fear God. Fear God. Now, beloved, aren't you glad you're sustained by everlasting arm? I'm glad my sustenance and power rests not in the Baptist church, aren't you? I'll tell you, every time they split, my power would split, amen? Every time they had an argument, my power would fizzle out and die. I'm not upheld by the Baptist church. I'm not promoted by some convention or some fellowship. My sustaining power is the same power that put those sun out there, that old moon, took them stars and scattered them out there. And he said, look here, son, if I can hold that sun up there, if I can keep that moon there, if I can put them stars and name them and hold them, if I can make that earth and hold it and sustain it, what do you think I can do for you? Bless God, that's what gave these people in the Bible the courage they had. They knew God was with them. They got to grips with the place where they knew they needed God. They realized he was with them, and bless God, didn't matter what man did to them, didn't matter what man thought about them, this gave them the courage that they needed. This gave them the confidence that they needed. This gave them the assurance that they needed. Listen, I don't care how weak you are. I don't care how much you're getting ready to faint and fall. If you're saved, you got everlasting arms under you. You got the God that created heaven and earth to sustain you and to hold you up. Bless God, ain't no time to faint. It's time to get up and run. Amen. Ain't no time to get weary. It's time to move on down the road. Ain't no time to gripe and complain. It's time to get on your knees and say, God, I can't do it. I can't make it. Should have been waiting a long time to hear it from you, son. Get up and I'll take over from here on. Amen? That's why some of you are weak this morning. That's why you're weary. That's why you faint. You tried to figure it out, finagle it, manufacture it, work it up, do it, and you can't do it. You felt the weakness of that flesh. Thank God for an eternal God that is our refuge. Thank God, the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator himself, is the one who sustains you and I. Listen, if you're ever going to hang on and make it as a Christian, if you're ever going to keep on, keep it on, you're going to have to do it with the knowledge that you're sustained by the eternal God. He is my source of power. He is your source of power. The Bible said in Hebrews 11, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, and David, also and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. They did it not in their power. They did it because they had an everlasting God that did it for them. One time, a man named Saladin came to look at the sword of Richard the Lionhearted, one of the greatest soldiers, one of the greatest men as far as character that ever walked across the face of this earth, helped make England the great country that it was. He picked up that sword and that weapon and he looked at it. When he did, he said, "I can't imagine it." He said, "It's just an ordinary sword, similar to what we carry. Why could this sword perform the miracles that it performed? Why could it do such marvelous deeds as it did?" A fellow Englishman came to him and he said, "My son," he said, "it's not the sword." He rolled up his sleeve. He said, "It was the arm of the one who held this sword." Let me tell you, beloved, it's not the sword. It's not you and I, but it is the arm that upholds you and I. It is the arm that sustains you and I. We perform miracles. We can do great things for God, not because of us and our power, but because of the arm, the mighty arm of God, the right hand of power that sustains you and I. Just as he was, God measures men. God never looks and counts at men. That doesn't matter to him. He measures men. He looks at them. He's not worried about numbers. That's why Gideon wasn't worried. He knew his power was of God. And he moved forward. The source of power, I'll tell you who it is, it's God himself. And notice something about the nature of this power. This power is not like any other power you could think of in this world. This power is different from all others. You know, all the other powers in this world, it seems like you can turn them on and turn them off whenever you want. A little electricity, flip a switch. Country wants power, they turn it on, they turn it off, they exhibit it. God's power is not something you can manufacture and make. It's not something you can work up. It's not the idea that a guy has power because he has a beautiful body. It's not the idea he has power because he got big muscles popping out. See? I mean, he said the youth are fainting. They're falling. They're going by the wayside. So it's not something that is a natural phenomena. It's not something that you can explain and turn on and turn off. But God's power is something of a nature that he gives it to you and I. Not because of our, you know, intelligence. Not because of our ability. Listen, the size of a man is not measured in feet or inches and pounds. The size of a man is measured by how big God is in his life. That's the nature of this power. It's not something you can get out and say, "I'm going to have the power of God. I'm going to get it." No! Something that God gives to you and I. Not because of our, you know, intelligence. Not because of our ability. Listen. The size of a man is not measured in feet or inches and pounds. The size of a man is measured by how big God is in his life. That's the nature of this power. It's not something you can get out and say, "I'm going to have the power of God. I'm going to get it." No! Something that God gives to you and I. When Dwight L. Moody was asked the secret of his power, he said, "The secret of my power lies in the Scripture. Psalm 62, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God." He said, "I'm glad that he didn't say power belongs to Finney, or would have left when Finney did. I'm glad that he didn't say power belongs to Martin Luther, it had been gone." He said, "Power belongs to God." He said, "If Dwight L. Moody has ever had any power in his life, he had it because God gave it to him." Beloved, God's power is a gift that he gives to you and I. It's not something you can get down there and say, "Well, I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it." It's something that God gives as a gift. You can't work it up. You can't manufacture it. You can't produce it. You can't turn it on and turn it off like you do a faucet. You know, Samson knew that. At times that power came on him. At times he didn't have it. You know, David knew that when he went and faced Goliath. He wasn't going in his own strength. He went in the strength and power of God. He had not faced him if he hadn't. Moses knew that when he went and faced Pharaoh and stood at the Red Sea. He didn't go in his own power, not a natural power. He went in the power of God. The three Hebrew children knew that, and they rebelled against the king. They knew the nature of this power was that God gave it to you. I'll show you something. I was up there in Canada, and I try to pray, preach, study all that I can. There's one woman, a wife of a person in there, that really needs to be saved. She don't get saved. Well, I pray. She's coming every night, and I pray, and I get this message, and kind of get it going. Got, you know, so I was going to preach salvation. I preach that night, pray for it. All, you know, after the invitation comes, you know what happened? Nothing. She didn't get saved. She didn't walk the aisle. She seemed to be under conviction. Nothing. I go ahead and I say, well, okay, I'll pray, you know, preach, good. I preach the next night, or another night, forget which one it was, and I preach a message completely to Christian people. If I mention anything about salvation, it's just in passing. I stand up and the choir leader or the song leader comes, the pastor comes, and before we can sing the first note, here comes this guy about 22 years old, walks down the aisle and kneels down by himself and starts praying and wants to get saved. The fellow from Yugoslavia had only been there a couple years, had been to church one other time. And here's a message all to Christians, a whole thing. And what's he do? He comes down there and gets saved. Now, you know why God does that? He shows you that it's him and not you and I. He shows you can't manufacture it, you can't work it up, you can't produce it. You've got to pray, do the best you can, trust God, and go on. Beloved, if God gives you an unusual portion of that power, it will be because he wanted you to have it. Now, the condition of this power. How do you get it? What's the condition for it? Verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, the Lord knew just where to hit us, didn't he? I mean, didn't the Lord know exactly what to say to get us? You know, he said, you're weak and you're weary. The everlasting God's here. I'll give you this power. What I got to do, Lord, to get it? Wait. Oh, I want it right now. Yeah. You know, the Bible talks about you and I growing and maturing as Christians. That's what part of that is. You got little children, you know what? I'll tell you one of their childish characteristics, and it's true of every child ever seen. If they want something, they want it right now. I mean, I got to have it right now. If you tell them we're going to do it in the future, they mean that's 5 minutes from this moment. Amen? I mean, I want it, I got to have it, I need it. You know, their vocabulary changes the older they get and the smarter they get and wiser in the ways of the world. But it's, I've got to have it, give it to me now. You say, no, son, you got to wait. Wait. How long? An hour? Tomorrow? Amen. I mean, how long is it? Miss Rockman over there, she told my boys one time she's going to take them down to Disney World or see that they got there. And we wasn't going to go till summer, and she told them out about January. I tell you, like to pull our hair out, amen? She told them, man, she said, well, when are we going? I said, well, later on. Tomorrow? No, it won't be tomorrow. Next day? No. Every day, get up, every week, you know, every time I think about it. Now. 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 And you know that's how you and I are as Christians. We go through some trouble and problems. Now, God answered this thing. When? Right now. I got to have it. I can't go. Yes, you can go on without it. I can't live another day if I don't get it. Oh, you'll make it. Wait. You know what the Lord wants? You know what that word waiting indicates? Not just the idea of sitting around. The Lord wants you to do a little heart searching. He wants you to do a little confessing. The people that are getting strength, you know who they are? Those are those that have got faint and weary along the way. You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to sit down and examine yourself. Look at yourself and begin to confess your sin and see what went wrong in your life. The reason you don't have the strength that you ought to have. If you're faint and weary somewhere along the way, you fail to trust the power of God. Amen? Listen, I know circumstances are hard. I know problems are hard. Don't tell me about problems. I could tell you 50 that you have no idea about right now. I could tell you 25 that people went through that just blow your mind if you thought anybody could ever go through it. Don't tell me about it. I'll tell you. I'll tell you the only way you're going to get through is to be sustained by the power of an almighty God. You're not going to do it yourself. And you know what the Lord wants you to do? He wants you to sit down and wait about it. He wants you to pray. He wants you to admit you failed. He wants you to admit somewhere along the line, you failed to trust him. You failed to believe him. You say, it's hard to do. You better believe it's hard to do. You said, it's rough. Yeah, it's rough. Some of you right now, you're just chomping at the bit. You just got to have that answer to prayer. You just got to get out of here. You just got to go. You just got to do it. You know what he said? Wait upon the Lord. Be still. Know that I'm God. See, that's in the Bible. You didn't know that, did it? Be still. See, that's in there. Wait. 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 Time spent in preparation for the Lord's work is never wasted time. The Lord had people wait. Moses and the nation of Israel had to wait a long time. 40 years in the wilderness. When we're going to get the promised land? Now, don't you know if you've been on trips with kids, if you went anywhere, when are we going to get there? When are we going to get there? Can you imagine 40 years of that? 40 years of traveling in the wilderness? I got to go to the bathroom. I want a drink. I'm hungry. When are we going to get there? Can you imagine that? 40 years, all of that wandering in that wilderness, and you know what the Lord says? Wait upon the Lord. In Luke chapter 24, he had just resurrected, was getting ready to ascend to heaven. The disciples began to see the truth of his death, burial, and resurrection. You know what he said? Tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I mean, those were the last words that he spoke to them. They said, tarry, what do you mean? Said, there's lost people out there. Yep. There's a multitude of people dying, going to hell. That's right. He said, there's a work to do. You said the fields are white in the harvest. He said, that's right. He said, I want you to tarry. He said, I want you to get alone. I want you to get up in the upper room. I want you to pray and wait on me. And he said, listen, then when you go forth to do the work, you will be better prepared than you ever were before. You know why? You'll go forward in the power of God. Wait upon the Lord. I know that many of us have heard of Jonathan Edwards preaching his famous sermon, The New England State Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. But during that sermon, there was a person ran down the aisle and said, Mr. Edwards, have mercy on me. Don't let me die and go to hell. People gripped the back of their pews because they thought they were falling into hell right in that church. People run over and grabbing the pillars in that church and throwing their arms around that pillars because hell became so real that day they thought they were going to drop off into hell. He went into a town in New England where they told him they could never have a revival. It was one of the most wicked, ungodly areas that were. And in one message, he had one of the greatest sermons, the greatest services that anybody ever had. He stood with his manuscript, a little frail man, and couldn't hardly see and had to hold it so close to his face you couldn't even see his face. And he read the whole sermon. Do you know what happened? You know what happened prior to that? 3 days and three nights, he fasted. Never one bit of food came in his mouth. For 3 days and three nights, he never slept. And he prayed and cried and said, God, give me this town. Yes, he was a great man. Yes, he was a great preacher. Do you know what he had to do? Wait upon the Lord. When he did, his strength was renewed. Now, notice last of all the evidence of this power. Verse 31. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. I can never read this verse what I don't think about Brother Roloff. Never. And I don't know it. He's been on my heart the last week, and I guess it's just now hitting me that he's not here anymore. Listen, I've sat and listened to him preach. I've sat and listened to him expose and expound the Word of God as no other man did. But when I read this verse, I thought about him. I thought about the years that he went with just 3 and 4 hours of sleep at night. I thought of the years that he went eating food. Some of us would turn a nose up at it and say, that's not enough to sustain you. I thought of the hours that he went. I said, Lord, how could he run and not be weary? How could he walk and not faint?
And yet I seen him in that pulpit, and he'd take wings like the wings of an eagle, mount up and soar like no other preacher ever soared. He rose to spiritual planes. He mounted up with wings as an eagle and lived high above the filth and pollution of this world. You know how he did it? He did it by the power of God. You know, you look at these men, what keeps them going? What keeps them moving? Even Dr. Ruckman, he'd tell you the same thing. The way he abused his body ought to be dead right now. Amen? I mean, he admitted himself. He said last week, I mean, just every day he lives with just another day of the grace of God. How could he go? How could he move? How could he do it? Tell you how he does it. The power of God. That's how they run. They're not weary. Listen, you mount up like eagles. Higher and higher. Fly. Learn to fly above your troubles. Learn to get up where the air and the atmosphere is pure and clean. Learn to fly, and the higher you fly, the closer you get to God. Listen, we don't need any dope to get on a trip. I don't need a needle in my arm to get high. I can get high on this book, amen. Or I can get high so sometimes I'm rocking up on my toes, amen. I know that's a funnyism, bunch of preachers. Well, I'm a funny preacher because I'll rock, amen. I'll rock, bless your heart. I'll get in my office sometimes and soar so high I think I could just take off. Take the wings of the morning and fly right out. You know why? The power of God. Listen, run and not be weary. You know, that's what every runner wants. Doesn't matter whether they're running a 100-yard dash. Doesn't matter whether they're running a marathon. They want to condition their body so they can run and not quit until they get to the end. That's what you want. Run and not be weary. Get your body in a condition where you just run and run and run and run. Never grow weary until you come to the end of the line. Walk and not faint. Just keep walking and walking and walking till one day you take the walk that Enoch did. He walked with God, and one day he was not, because God took him. You know how you can do that? The power of God. No other way. I read this week again, Hugh Latimer, one of the Christian martyrs of the faith, was born over there in England. Went to Cambridge when he was 14, became a priest. While he was there, he learned the ways of popery in the Roman Church. And when he came out, he began to preach against the Reformation. Melanchthon, Martin Luther, so forth and so on. He said the Reformation was a heresy. He preached against it. And the reason was there was so much ignorance is they didn't have the Bible. The common man had not the Word of God in his hand. And the Roman Church held them in ignorance because they had some Bibles, but the common people didn't have it, and they forbid the common man to hold and have the Word of God. The reason we had a Reformation is because God took this book and put it in the hands of the common man. That's why we had it. That's why we had a Reformation. That's why we had a revival and an awakening, because people got this book. He had a friend who loved Latimer and prayed for him. This friend was also in the Catholic Church. But he went and bought a Bible and got it and began to read it. And he opened that thing up. And the first thing he read was that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And this fellow, whose name was Thomas Bilney, said, "I see it, I see it, I see it." He says, "It is Christ that saves, not the church." He said, "My vigils, my fasts, my pilgrimages, instead of saving me, they're destroying me." He said, "What I need is Jesus." And he got saved. He tried to tell Latimer about salvation, but he couldn't. And finally, one day, he said, "Latimer, I have a confession that you must hear." And Latimer was a priest, and if a person came really wanted that confession, he couldn't turn him down. So Latimer went in there, and this fellow, Bilney, went in there in the confessional. You know what he confessed? He confessed that he had bought a Bible and opened it. He confessed that Jesus Christ had saved his soul from hell. He confessed that the church could not save him, that his eyes had been opened to something he had never seen before. Right in that confessional, Latimer himself trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Right there in the confessional, he got saved with the Spirit of God. When he came out, he began to write to Germany to get news from those fellows all that he could so he might begin to preach the truth. He was known as a heretic because he denied things that were contrary to the Scripture. He was set up in favor, and finally, he was taken to jail. Him and three other men, Kramer, Ridley, Bradford, and Latimer, were all thrown in prison. While they were there, they read the Bible, read the Word of God through. They were condemned to be burnt at the stake. On October the 16th, 1955, Ridley and Latimer both came. They were fastened securely with an iron chain that was about their waist. They took a bag of gunpowder and took this gunpowder and tied the gunpowder to their neck. And the idea was they'd light the fire. When the fire got up there, it'd blow their head, literally blow their head off. They went out there. They put the chains around their waist. They put the gunpowder around their neck. And they put the fire and brought it and got ready to light it at their feet. When it did, Latimer turned to Ridley and he said, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out." Light a candle. Man, it's going to blow your head off. He turns and said, "Play the man." Because if we're going to light a light that by the grace of God no man shall ever put out. And you know they didn't. Word got around of what Latimer and Ridley and Kramer had did. It sent a great revival throughout that country where they were. When he was in prison, he prayed for three things. He prayed for grace and preservation of Prince Elizabeth, and that she would know that God was the sustainer. He prayed that the gospel might reach out in the realms beyond. He prayed that God would enable him to stand up for the doctrines he preached. When he came before that trial, they asked him, and he made a simple confession that he had believed in Christ as his Savior. They started a long thing about the church fathers and said, "What do you believe?" He said, "I'll make it very short." He said, "What I believe about the church fathers is anything they teach that is not supported by the Scripture is heresy." He said, "That's enough. That's enough." Now, how did he do it? How could he walk out there, know that in a few minutes his head was literally going to be blown right off his body, turn to him and say, "Play the man"? Tell you why. Because he had the power of God. Took the wings of an eagle. You know what he did? He flew up above. He flew up above the place where they were. He saw him who was invisible. He began to run. He wasn't weary. He kept on walking and never did faint. Why? Because he waited upon the Lord. And he renewed his strength. Let's bow our heads for prayer. This, I believe with all of my heart, beloved, is what many of us need today. Power for the faint. Power for the weary. We need it. There's no doubt of that. The source of it is God himself. The nature of it, folks, is that he'll give it to you. And at times he'll give you more when the situation calls for more. And it's not something you can turn on or turn off like you would a faucet. Beloved, the means of getting this is waiting upon the Lord. There's no other way. Now, Father, I pray that you'd bless the words of this message today. For some reason, this portion of Scripture has been laid on my heart that I could not avoid it. I had to preach it or think about it all the next week. And Lord, you spoke to my heart. I get weary at times. I get faint. The burdens of this life, the troubles that I have, almost make me want to quit. But I begin to think that the eternal God is my refuge. And underneath are those everlasting arms. God, may your children look to that today. Not to trust our wisdom, our strength, our power, but to trust you. Lord, if there's one lost person here today without Jesus who needs to be saved, may they see the only power that can deliver them from death, hell, and damnation. It's the power, the gospel of Jesus Christ. May they believe on you and trust you. minister to your children. I pray it in your name. Amen. Let's stand together. The truth of this gripped the heart of every person that's here today. Lord, you've spoken to my heart. I know I need you more than I need anything else. And Father, I pray that we'd see that. I need, Lord, you to be with me. Your blessing, your power, your book, Lord. And I pray that you'd help everyone that knelt at this altar and prayed. Why they came, the reason they came, you know. I pray that you'd give them victory. I pray that you'd give them help. I pray that you'd give them strength. I pray that you'd give them direction. Whatever they need, Lord, meet their need. If we wait upon you, you said you'll renew our strength. Help us to wait upon thee. Move by your direction, the guidance of thy spirit. Realize that when the finger of God points, his hand will move to sustain us and keep us. Bless everyone here today, Lord. May they find strength in the message and the word of God. Lord, if there's anyone here lost that's not saved, may they not leave this building without you. Lord, may they get someone by the hand or talk to someone and say, I want to be saved. I want to trust the Lord as my Savior. Minister to us throughout this day. May we be conscious of thee in all we do. Bless us and come us, bring us back tonight looking for great things in thee. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.